This podcast brought to you by Hope 1032.
Taylor Hanson, thank you so much for being on Hope 1032. Really value your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
You guys have just released your brand new single, Child at Heart. Before we jump into talking about that, though, I want to talk to you about these last couple of years and the songwriting journey you guys have been on as a band. For you, do you feel like it's been a window where you've been able to write and create, or what has it been like for you?
Well, I mean, obviously, the whole world has shared in isolation. We've all been, you know, cut off from a lot of our normal patterns, you know, especially, you know, 2020, of course. With music writing, in some ways, it opened up some time to look at things differently. And we had a lot of plans, like most people, that changed. Mm. So that sparked just looking at our time differently. I mean, last year we put out an album that we'd intended for release in 2020 that we released last year in installments because we thought, hey, the music is a way to help just bridge the gap and keep people engaged. And with this year, we knew we'd finally, or hopefully, we'd be on track to properly have a tour. So we wanted to have new music, another new project to come alongside it. So I think creatively, you know, we've always written songs. We've always made music, and so whatever time you're in, you're trying to sort of channel your experience through that music. I mean, it's your way of making sense of things, and thankfully we have that outlet, honestly.
Mm. When you do have that extra time and maybe even more of a window to be particularly reflective, I suppose, how does that change the way that your songs come out? Because, I mean, you guys as a band, you have a really wonderful pop rock sound, but do you feel like the music maybe gets a little bit darker in those times, or do you use the joy of music to process?
I think it does definitely bring some depth to, I mean, everyone surrounded by seemingly bad news for a long time, you know, just kind of not coming out of the malaise. But my response is usually to look for something that is uplifting in response to it, not to lean in, because you're already surrounded by things that are kind of depressing. Like, hey, I need to change the tone. But, you know, the song Child at Heart, which is the first song from this new project, is definitely reflective and is definitely, you know, it's almost a ballad. It's very emotional, and it's talking about coming through, you know, difficulty and this sort of idea of finding hope and being hopeful, even though you're looking down the barrel of feeling like you want to go inside. You want to give up, you know, sort of looking in the mirror as well as looking across at somebody else that's struggling and saying, hey, you're here for a reason. And, you know, don't stop giving your heart to things. Don't stop being hoping for good things and expecting good things. Mm. So I think there's a lot of different emotions going on in this new music.
Yeah. And you in the film clip take quite the beating. Did you sign yourself up for that? Or was this a creative choice from the brothers saying it's about time Taylor gets punched in the face a few times?
Well, so we had lots of possible ideas for the video. And I have to say this concept was not mine, but one I really liked. Mm. I like the idea of doing something that you immediately were curious to watch again and see if you got all the details, you know, and see, you know, have people just curious to see it unfold, and something that was less about performance. You know, a lot of times music videos for songs are very, you know, much framing the band, and here you know there's a lot of performance in a lot of our music videos. Mm. This one has virtually no like band performance, and all just is a story. But our director Mark Steele, who wrote and directed the video, he suggested this kind of narrative that would articulate a more literal version of the song's story. And I just thought it was a great thing to try, and certainly it sparked curiosity from people.
Yeah, I mean, I've already seen a few people commenting about whether this references, you know, abusive relationships, or does this reference some kind of personal battle that you and maybe, you know, your brothers are facing. And your response to that has really been so far that it is much more about being able to get back up again when life brings you down. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're definitely at a somewhat of a crossroads as a band. We've been doing it for a long time, so there's all kinds of things happening, you know, as a band, you're looking for creative ways to move forward. But this song is all about choosing to find a hopeful way forward, and instead of believing and falling into the stats that go with honestly growing older and not just being where I am, particularly, you know, 30 plus, you know, almost 40. Whenever you know, as you grow into just adulting and just being, you know, a grown person, you have to choose whether you're going to start expecting the worst or whether you're going to remember that hopeful spirit that goes with, you know, that childlike, you know, view. And I think you need to hold on to the thing, that excitement and the possibilities. And that's what the song is all about.
Mm. What are the qualities of childlikeness that you really want to keep as you grow up and grow older, and particularly as a dad raising your own family of 7 little kids, or maybe not, some of them not so little anymore now?
Yeah, not so little. Yeah, my wife and I have 7 kids, which is, you know, a big house, a big full house. And so, yeah, I mean, the child at heart is, you know, in the context of, you know, it's not talking about, like, be a child as in, like, let's watch cartoons and let's pound candy, but that innocence of being hopeful. I think as far as what you want to keep, I think keeping a sense of awe, you know, keeping a sense of possibilities, that's the best thing that I see from, you know, staying connected to my kids and staying excited about my work is that the hunger for new things, the hunger to discover things. And I'm at a point in my life, we've been doing what we do for a long, long time, but we've guys and girls that are, you know, our age that have grown up with us, you see people that start being like sort of falling into the patterns and stop growing and stop learning and stop chasing the dream. And real depression and real, you know, despair starts to come in, I think, when people begin to stop expecting new possibilities. And so the childlike spirit, I think, is really just that sense of awe.
Yeah. Do you think some of that attitude that people can end up having at this stage in life, whether I don't want to put, like, necessarily a age on it, because I think it can hit people at different times, but that moment where you maybe aren't hopeful and you're not expectant, do you think that can come because you had successes early in life? You know, I mean, for you guys as a band, you guys have done this for 30 years now, which is incredible, but it means you've come in on the front half of life with so much richness and so much experience already. In that kind of experience, do you feel like that can be something that feeds into a feeling of despondency for maybe what's next?
Sure. Well, our experiences have been extraordinary and certainly test you. You know, having success and being young, that has a chance of really distorting your view of yourself and the world, and absolutely could cause you to lose sight of things. But I don't think that is a particular path that is more susceptible to the things we're talking about. I think everyone has their version of coming of age, and we've long since come of age. But I find that, you know, this conversation about a youthful spirit is really about staying alive, you know, staying interested. And our particular story definitely tested us early on, but we've also had an extraordinary experience. All of us, you know, 3 of us have given so much of our life to things that we really believe in. I mean, songs and touring and not just going in and clocking in and clocking out to a job that we don't really care about, which many people, you know, unfortunately don't get to make their profession something they genuinely really believe in. And so I would say we have a lot of reminders every day that there's a reason to choose to be optimistic and hopeful, but it doesn't mean it's easy. Everyone has that choice. We're surrounded by reasons to go the other direction, you know, and plenty of justification to say, well, you know, look how terrible the world is, you know.
When you're talking about finding a sense of hope, and I would think too, also a resilience to face everything that we go through in life, for you, where does that resilience, where does that attitude to choose hope come from?
One, I mean, you reflect what you've experienced, and we've always had a sense that what we're doing is not just, you know, an accident, and And, you know, a lot of our songs, you know, one of the things that you do see all the way back to Umbop and, you know, Where's the Love and songs like Weird and even songs like Penny and Me, which are kind of about music and staying connected to one another. In all these cases, you have songs that are, they're very, there's an uplifting quality to them, which people definitely think of Hanson songs as being, you know, more up, you know, upbeat, but they're not just saying everything's shiny. They're every one of our songs, we tend to comment on the challenge, but look for an answer. And that goes back to our youth. I mean, it goes back to, we were really encouraged to strive for things and that it wasn't just that things mattered and what you did mattered, what you said mattered. And so we've always approached our work that way and our songs that way.
And you did start so young. You were 9 years old when things really took off for you guys. When you look back at the beginning, do you kind of remember, like, how did it get started, and where did this idea of saying, hey, we should start this band and try to do something with this, where did that actually happen?
Well, so we're from right in the middle of the U.S. and in Oklahoma, and there's certainly a lot of music history here, lots of different artists, but a lot of what's come from this part of the country is country music, you know, American country music. So we were never really influenced by that, but what we got turned on to was early rock and roll. We had some, you know, collections of music from the late 50s and early 60s, and that music, you know, for us, it was brand new. It was totally alive.
Yeah.
You know, it was Little Richard and, you know, Chuck Berry and Aretha Franklin and, you know, all of these early rock and roll artists. And for us, we were just hearing it like it was the newest current music there was.
Yeah.
And we could just sing. I mean, harmonizing and singing together was just a natural thing. And the other thing that influenced us, I think, is we saw artists that were young. I mean, we saw the Beach Boys and the Jackson 5 and even the Beatles. I mean, these were all musicians that were mostly teenagers. And so we didn't think, oh, we need to wait until we're 25 and jaded. Let's get on with it. And you want to do things that you get positive feedback from too. And if we sang and we harmonized and we walked into a room and people responded well to it. And so you kind of go, oh, that was people like this. I like doing it. Let's do more.
Yeah. And as you are experiencing some of those genres for the first time and coming alive to music in a new way, for a lot of your fans, I count myself among them, you were our first experience of a boy band, you know, and what it meant for there to be this huge swell of attention and love for these bands. And now it's like there is such a nostalgic attachment to these people, this music that you have journeyed with through life. How does that feel for you, being kind of the center of people's nostalgia, this anchor point in their life journey?
Well, it's music is extremely personal. So I'm very grateful that we're part of people's lives. And, you know, the boy band moniker was never one we particularly embraced. So we were actually a boy band. But I think that connection, you know, that people make, especially when you make that when you're young, the connections you have to pop culture and to music, I think, are stronger than ever. I mean, they are what form your view, and you hang on to those. And so I feel just really proud that we had that connection. And honestly, for a lot of people, they've journeyed with us for 25 years since that first record.
And you've had so many opportunities along the way, and now with your new music, the upcoming album, Red, Green and Blue, dropping in May, you have all of these moments to really define who you guys are as artists and what your lives look like right now. Do you feel like over your career you've been understood from an artistic point of view, or have people tried to put more labels around what you guys make?
I don't think anyone's fully understood. We've been understood more by some than others. I mean, you know, whenever you have a certain amount of success, you have a lot of people that know you for one or two things. Some people that know you for 10, you know, some other people that feel totally connected to many, many things that you've done, concerts and albums and stuff. So it's all layers. We have been very focused on really drilling down and investing in building a community of fans. And we started our own record company and left a major label after we were really just kind of caught in merging companies and didn't really feel like we had a label that really understood why they even signed us back then. So we, you know, we've been independent with global partners since 2003. And,
wow.
You know, that sort of effort since then is really just been consistent, being defining success, you know, and defining success more by that constant connection with real fans, not just with, you know, singles on the chart, but, you know, tickets that are sold and fan club membership and, you know, the active community around the world. And what's really fascinating now is we sell more tickets to audiences today than we did even 20 years ago.
Wow.
And so I think what's really cool is that we've been able to, and thanks to everybody that's followed the band and stuck with us, it's we've been able to go on a journey. And nobody's ever fully understood. I mean, that's never, you know, hoping for all people to fully understand you is not something that you should hang on to.
Yeah, maybe it's a futile dream, but when you've got that core group who really at least resonate with the music and follow you guys, like there's a lot of people in your corner. And do you think that that is something, I mean, you mentioned earlier trying to keep a passion for music and doing that in, you know, however long life goes on from now until then, is having that independence and maybe more of that creative control something that allows you to stay passionate?
They work off of each other. I mean, you're... Independence, you know, independence is different things to different people. I mean, we own our record company, and we don't report to a corporate body. So that we're very much independent in the way we put our music out.
Mm.
But you know, the passion is something that really has to come from within, and regardless of what way you're putting music out, I think we have chosen to do a lot of things that are less traditional because there is a passion and there is a conviction. And, you know, what I would like to say is that we make music, you know, for ourselves. We make music that we know we need to express.
Mm.
And you're lucky when other people enjoy it too, because it's something you sort of have to do. You know, it's a process of, hey, this is who I am. I need to look at the world and process it and share these songs, and I need to be able to sing, I need to be able to write, I need to be able to craft and collaborate with other musicians and make things. And so the passion is innate. So figuring out a way to find an audience and build one and keep it alive, I mean, that's what you do as a way of sort of continuing to justify your existence out in the
right.
world. You know, hey, does anybody want to listen? You know, because we need to make it.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people that do want to listen and love your music, and I know we'll be excited to see Red, Green, and Blue come out. What is the significance of those three colors for you guys?
You know, all the way back to the beginning of our, you know, childhood, we were each associated with a color, and, you know, in our family, for whatever reason, you know, you have your favorite colors, you have colors that you lean towards, and I was always red, Isaac was always green, Zach was always blue. And there's a little bit of a, you know, fans that have stuck with the band kind of know that those colors have been associated. We didn't really force it, but it just has always been, I guess, true. And the other thing is RGB is a color format, you know, that those three colors used together can sort of produce all other colors. And so there's this symbolism between, you know, connecting those colors and create, you know, something that is bigger. And, you know, the new project, you know, we focus kind of on three different, almost three different projects in one, with each person sort of leading, you know, five songs of the album, of the 15-song album. So it has lots of different meanings.
Yeah, and I'm sure there'll be a few things that fans kind of read into it and create their own kind of narratives around too. And when you think of the way that so many people can have their own ideas about, you know, who you guys are and your passions and your interests, how do you guys frame your own sense of personal identity when you do exist in a world that creates its own stories about you?
Well, you don't control what other people say. You only control what you put into the world, and you do have to make choices about what you listen to and what you give credence to, because these days everybody has a platform. Everybody has a way to share their opinion. And we've tried really hard to put as much of our voice into the songs and into our actual craft, because that's why we're here. We're not here because we need to have an opinion on everything out in the world. And we also know that everyone doesn't need to have an opinion on you.
Mm.
So frankly, you just try and focus on what you control, and you hope to share things that you think matter. And look for people that are responding in a way that is positive.
Mm. Are you glad that the early part of your career started before social media was around?
You know, I'm not really sure it would have mattered either way. When we started, we were really at the very dawn of the internet taking hold. You know, most of the record companies really didn't even believe websites would matter, and we were lucky that we were an early adopter of that and had a relationship with fans through the internet. So I wish it would have moved faster, because we were trying to do things with the website. And you know, at early days, we were forums. It was all about forums, and we were wishing we could stay more connected. We were wishing we could learn more about our audience and have a better sense of what they wanted to do. And I do think that all of us are suffering from overexposure. You know, the whole world probably has probably too much information and too many opinions, and you know, too much information. You know, it's so hard to keep the world in focus. So there's a downside to either one. But as a band, I think the internet and what's happened with social media platforms is really powerful and mostly positive. Nothing's 100% positive.
No, but it's certainly given bands a lot of opportunities. And in talking of trying to keep focused and just actually have some sense of where you put your attention in life, are there things that you personally do to keep yourself focused and I guess giving your time to the things that you're passionate about without getting distracted by all of these other things going on around us?
Well, I mean, I love all kinds of different crafts and creative outlets, and I really don't I've never had an issue with being distracted, honestly. You know, because there's already so many things to fill the time. You know, the music, the creative process. You know, I'm also being a parent of many children.
Yeah.
You know, that occupies your time. And I love to cook. I love photography. I love painting. I love, you know, lots of different creative things. And so, love film. I love that, all those different aspects of entertainment. So I've never had a particular problem finding meaningful things to do with time. I'm really just wishing there was more time to go around, if anything.
Yeah, and with 7 kids, that obviously does take a lot of your time, but there's a joy in that too. So as a dad, have you started to notice like some of the gifts and abilities in your own kids? Where do their interests lie right now?
Lots of different interests. Definitely some that are very interested in music and some that are totally not. So it's a mix. I mean, I'm just amazed that, you know, two parents can have so many different kinds, you know, different types of children.
Yeah.
I mean, that you can have so many different types of people, you have introverts and extroverts and, you know, creative people and people with more linear minds that can, you know, are more black and white, and everybody's different. So we have a little bit of everything, but all of our kids are very, they have a front row seat to what I've done with my life and what, you know, my wife and I value in work ethic and just being committed to what you do. And so whatever they choose to do, hopefully they take away some good lessons there.
Absolutely. And I'm sure if music ever became boring for you, which I doubt it will, you can just sort of sit and people watch your children, because they would entertain you for like days, no doubt. But as we wrap it up, Taylor, I just wanted to quickly ask you, what advice would you give to your younger self? Looking back 30 years from where you began, what would you say to young Taylor?
I would probably just encourage them to be bold, you know, to be confident. I mean, we took risks getting signed. We took risks trying to be an independent band. We've certainly tried things that have worked and some things that haven't worked. I would probably just be the older advisor that I would like to have had, in addition to the people around me that said, hey, stick to your guns, fight for it, you know, be bold, don't be fearful, and, you know, keep taking chances, you know.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining us today, Taylor, and we look forward to seeing you in Australia sometime soon, fingers crossed.
Yes, yeah, we're looking forward to joining you there.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.